Jeremiah, the sovereign call of a reluctant prophet. For the call of Jeremiah, the sovereign call of a reluctant prophet. Last Lord's Day we meditated, in fact last two Sundays we meditated Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. And I told you Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah was another very distinguished hero of faith from the Old Testament. And the book of Hebrews chapter 11 gives us clues or hints that the prophets were also included in the list of the heroes of faith in the Bible, although their names were not directly mentioned. From the life of Isaiah, today we move on to the life of Jeremiah. Another distinguished hero of faith in the Old Testament, Jeremiah. He prophesied in the 7th century BC, almost 40 years after Isaiah went to be with the Lord. Isaiah was martyred somewhere in the year of 681 BC. Isaiah, remember I told you, Isaiah, according to the tradition, was cut into two by one of the most wicked kings of the southern kingdom, Manasseh. And that's probably, that was a reference the author of Hebrews mentions. The prophets, they were sawn into two by sword. They were killed. And after that, after around 40 years, Jeremiah comes to the picture. So Jeremiah ministered from sometime around 640 BC till 586 BC and beyond. Now, 640 BC, that is where Josiah the king for the southern kingdom, one of the great reformers, remember in the nation Israel, particularly the southern kingdom, the Lord raised many reformers. Hezekiah was a reformer. Unfortunately, after Hezekiah, who came to the power? Manasseh, one of the wicked kings I just mentioned. After Hezekiah, his son Manasseh, unfortunately, he was a very wicked king. And Isaiah was so stern to declare God's judgment. He never feared. And that earnestness, that courage and confidence the Lord gave to the prophets, for which Isaiah had to sacrifice his life. But that's the call. That is the call. Call of God. And we thank God. Last Lord's Day we meditated. Isaiah never mixed his words. He called upon the Lord, say, Lord, tear the clouds, come down. The unbelieving people would be punished. Isaiah pleaded to the Lord as he saw the wickedness of the nation. Say, Lord, come down, these people need to be dealt with. But at the same time, Isaiah affirmed, whosoever puts their faith and trust in Yahweh, whosoever loves righteousness, their life will be preserved. So Isaiah finally said, there will be a remnant. Yes, the nation will be taken to Babylon, but there will be a remnant. There will be a return. There will be a revival, a reformation of the nation, reformation of the people. After Manasseh, Josiah comes to the picture. He became the king. And Josiah became one of the great reformers. Jeremiah was there, Jeremiah witnessed. But after Josiah, things again went wrong, went back. Four kings came into the realm of the southern kingdom Judah, and all four were wicked kings. And it was during that time the destruction happened. You know the history, 606 BC, Babylonians came first time, then finally in 686 BC, the final destruction. 598, there was another one, second one, and the last one, 586 BC, the final destruction. Now, all through the destruction of Judah, the southern kingdom, the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, who was there? Jeremiah was there. So that is an important thing that you have to keep in your mind. Jeremiah lived through one of the most destructive periods of the history of Israel. 600 BC, or around that period, what happened in Israel for the southern kingdom Judah is one of the most devastating experiences. The nation that was built by the prayers and by the involvement of heaven, tore down by the heathens. Why? What was the reason? Because of the sin of the people. What Manasseh did, what other wicked kings did, they have to pay the price. But this man, Jeremiah, he was so burdened in his heart. He must proclaim God's wrath, God's punishment, and that's what in fact he did in this prophecy, Jeremiah. He proclaimed the judgment would come. So he was known as a prophet of doom. Prophet of doom. Doom means what? Judgment. God's judgment would come. A prophet of doom. While he proclaimed, prophesied the doom that is going to come on his beloved nation, Jeremiah could not take it into his heart. How could he ever imagine that the glorious presence of God, literally in front of them, what was that? The temple, right? Those days, the temple was there. The temple that was dedicated by Solomon, the first temple, in all its glory, with the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy of Holies, with all its splendor. Who could ever imagine all those things would become powder, rubbles? Jeremiah saw all those things with his own eyes, just in front of him. He lived through. He lived through, my dear brothers and sisters. And what did you do in such a situation? He could not take it. You turn with me to Lamentation chapter 1 verse 16. Lamentation was the aftermath of the destruction. After Jeremiah lived through, Jeremiah wrote the prophecy of Jeremiah before the destruction there. He warned the people. And then as Jeremiah lived through the destruction, after he experienced, after he saw all that happened in front of his eyes, he wrote Lamentations. Truly, truly, it was a lamentation. And I just want to read one verse just to let you know the heart of this great prophet. Lamentations chapter 1 verse 16. Let me just read it for you. Lamentations 1:16. For For these are things I weep. Words of the prophet Jeremiah. For these are things I weep. What are those? These are things you read. You read. He has a very descriptive portrayal of what he saw. The sorrows of the captive Zion. Zion under judgment. That's what chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Lamentations. And Jeremiah says, for these things I weep. Mine eye runneth down with water. As the tears. Because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. Now, by the way, who are his children? Not his physical children. God, in fact, told Jeremiah, the destruction is going to come. I have called you. You are to serve me. You should not marry. Jeremiah had to forsake his own marriage. God told him, don't marry. No more time for you to marry and you know, to build up a home. Jerusalem is going to be destroyed, Jeremiah. So you focus on serving God and warning the people. This is not the time to marry and build up a home and spend time in pleasure. God did not allow Jeremiah to be married. So Jeremiah did not get married. So when he says his children, not his physical children, his own nation, his own people. My eyes. Runneth round with water, with tears, because the comforter that should relieve my soul, far from me. My children are desolate because of my enemy, because of the enemy prevailed. That was God's judgment. That was God's judgment. You forsook the commandments of God. Oh, he wept. So Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. The weeping prophet. Prophet of doom. The weeping prophet. Today, for the next few minutes, I want to focus on his humble beginning and God's mighty plan for his life. Jeremiah comes from a priestly line of Jerusalem, priestly line of Israel. As chapter 1, verse 1, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin. So he comes from Anathoth, the city, the town, and from there, the priestly line. Although he comes from a priestly line, his beginning was very humble. But because of the priestly line, because of the godly heritage, he was very spiritual. That's something that we really thank God. And that's why in my first sentence itself, I said as we began the sermon, Jeremiah is one of the distinguished prophets, one of the distinguished heroes of faith. Such a wonderful life that we see in this man, deeply devoted, deeply committed, deeply spiritual. We thank God for his life. But his beginning was very humble. As we read through this passage, we know he was a very shy young man as he grew up. But this morning, the point that I want to make, Jeremiah is an object lesson of a man whose commitment to God enabled him, by God's grace, to overcome his natural timidity and live courageously in the face of severe opposition and tragic circumstances. Take note of that sentence I just mentioned. I repeat. Jeremiah is an object lesson of a man whose commitment to God enabled him. What? His commitment to God. He was so committed that enabled him. By what? By God's grace. When we commit ourselves to God, by His grace, God by His grace strengthens us to overcome His natural timidity. What is timidity? So shy. So afraid, he didn't want to come to the forefront. But he could. God enabled him to overcome and live courageously in the face of severe opposition and tragic circumstances. This is Christian life. This is Christian life. And this should be our life. And this should be our example. And that's why I mentioned this. Jeremiah's life is an object lesson. Jeremiah's life is an object lesson means what? We learn from the life of Jeremiah. We learn from the life of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1 verses 4 to 10. We learn from Jeremiah's example. He was a chosen vessel in the hands of God. God sovereignly chose him as a powerful instrument, and God used him. Now, as we come closer to this passage, the very specific lesson that I want to bring to your attention this morning is this. We ourselves are never the captain of our lives. As we read through this passage, you will understand. God sovereignly called Jeremiah. God sovereignly empowered him. God sovereignly commissioned him. Just for an observation, take a look into verses 4 to 10. Verses 4 to 10. You can very quickly count how many times the first personal pronoun is used for God there. The first personal pronoun. The first person. I. Verse 5. The word of the Lord came upon Jeremiah saying, verse 5, I formed thee. God telling Jeremiah, I, the Lord, I formed thee in the womb of course, Jeremiah's mother. Second, I knew thee. This is a foreknowledge. I knew thee. Third, I sanctified thee. I set thee apart. I ordained thee. Ordained means appointed. I appointed you to be His prophet, you know, to know the Lord and follow Him. Verse 7, I shall send you, and whatsoever I command you, you shall speak. I have put my words in your mouth. That's verse 9 and verse 10. I have this day set thee over the nations. God commissioning Jeremiah. I. Means what? God sovereignly calls. Sovereign means what? God is the supreme. He is the sovereign being. God is sovereignly, with all His authority, has control and power over the life of this young man. When did that happen? Not after he was born, even before he came to this world. Even before he was conceived in his mother's womb, God knew this man. Oh, this is what we call God's sovereignty. God sovereignly involved in the life of this this man, Jeremiah. So the lesson we learn from this passage today is this. Jeremiah was not the captain of his life. Who was the captain of Jeremiah's life? Yahweh, Jehovah. Jehovah was the captain. The one who was in control, the captain. The one who guides, the one who leads. It was Yahweh. Jehovah. And that's the lesson that we should learn, my dear friends. Oh, sir, I am so educated. I'm so talented. I come from a very well-known family with so much treasures and all those things, very famous. Why can't I determine my own life, my own future? I have my own ability. I have my own wisdom and all that I need in this world. Jeremiah could have said the same thing, one who came from the priestly line. Lord, hold on. Give me my freedom. Let me determine. Let me decide my life. No. No. God. When God called him. When God called him. When God revealed this glorious truth. Oh, Jeremiah. I am sovereign, I am supreme over your life. I am your maker. I knew you before even you were conceived. What a knowledge. What a blessed understanding. Are you able to understand this truth this morning? God knows our inside out. God knew where we were going to be born exactly. Even at the same time when he laid the foundation for this world. God knew the name that our parents would call us. God knew whatever thing is going to happen around us. God knew our children, that those who have children, those who do not have that privilege, that also God knew. Everything within the control, within the plan of God. That is a sovereignty, my dear friends. That is sovereignty. God is sovereign over my life, over your life. That we come and say, Lord, I am not the captain of my life. But you are. You are my maker. You are my sovereign ruler. You control my life. If we want to follow you, we want to follow your guidance. Let me just mention very quickly 4 points. Today's message is only the first part. The second part we will meditate next week. Because of ACM, don't want to take much time today. So let me just introduce the 4 points from this call that I want to bring to your attention in the light of this sovereignty that I have just mentioned to you. The call of Jeremiah, the sovereign call of a reluctant prophet. The four sovereign plans God had for Jeremiah. Number one, God's sovereign knowledge. God's sovereign knowledge upon the life of Jeremiah. God's sovereign knowledge. Verse 5a. Take a look into that. God's sovereign knowledge. Before I formed thee in the belly, that's in the womb, I knew thee. Before Jeremiah was formed in his mother's womb, God knew him. Now, what is this knowledge? In theology, this knowledge is known as what? Foreknowledge. Foreknowledge. That means God knows things about our lives beforehand. Okay, that is foreknowledge. And that's what just now I mentioned while I was explaining God's the particular sovereignty involved in Jeremiah's life. God knowing about us well ahead. And how much ahead God knows us? How much ahead? The moment when God laid the foundation. The moment God created everything. In other words, for the eternity past. I would say, we just mentioned God laying the foundation for the world, and that's where at least for our understanding of beginning of the world begins. But for God, that's not the beginning. He is eternal. In other words, for all in the eternity past, God knew you and I. In the eternity past, God knew you and I. Jeremiah existed in the mind and plan of God before he ever existed in his mother's womb. God told this to Jeremiah to let him know that Jeremiah should walk in God's preordained plan. Take note, why God told Jeremiah that he knew Jeremiah before he was born or before he was in his mother's womb, that Jeremiah should know that God has a preordained plan for Jeremiah's life. It was revealed to him so that he would know God's will. Jeremiah would know God's will for his life. He would be encouraged by that knowledge. And he would align his life according to that will and that plan for Jeremiah's life. Take note. Very important. Very important. In other words, what I'm trying to explain from this, The foreknowledge is in a very practical way. A father who plans for his child went to the school and got the admission for the child. And the father sometimes won't tell the child, how things are going to happen and the school and all the details. Especially while we were in the olden days. Nowadays, the situation is slightly different. The olden days, parents have their own set of schools and sometimes children would not be even taken to those schools for admission. Parents will decide, and then after taking the admission, one day the father will tell the child, this is a school that we have taken admission for you and you have to go. The child has to just follow. The parents have planned and worked out everything. Because the parents know the teachers. They are from the same village. And well-known people in the village, they are the teachers. So the parents have gone ahead and planned everything. The best plan for the child. Because the parents are so concerned for the future of the child. The best education, best teachers, well-known, well-established, parents have decided. And when the time for the children to go to the school, parents call the children, the son or daughter, this is what we have planned. Just go. Don't worry. Eh? Don't worry about anything. We know the teachers. We know the school. Don't worry. Just go. You will get the best education. You would be in the most safe hands.
Because we knew the teachers. They are people with a character. They are highly capable. Our Heavenly Father, foreordained my future, your future, the best plan for our lives. The best plan for our lives. Because He is the omniscient, almighty God. And always this foreknowledge happens. God's foreknowledge means it is actually by His love He plans. In fact, the Reformed theologians have called this foreknowledge as God's active delight upon us. Why He knew us beforehand? Yes, He is omniscient. He is able to know us before and do all those things. But particularly, He knows me. He knows Rajesh. He knows Sumant. He knows Sister Rani, Sister Lakshmi, Dr. Samskar. God has an active delight upon your life. By the way, God knows everybody in this world because He is a creator. He knows everybody. But this active delight of God would not be there for everybody. Certain people are special and God would choose them for His plan of salvation to be saved. And that's where God's appointment comes. I will come to that later, the second point. But first, He actively delights in us. That we need to be the members. That today, this day, you should be here in this sanctuary and listening from a person like me. This is God's divine plan. In the eternity past, He designed. And He particularly remembered you, brought you here. That you are able to listen this message on foreknowledge. God's active delight. And when God actively delights in us, He won't plan anything for our destruction. Please take note. God, when actively delights in us, when God loves us so much, He does only that which is the best. That which is the best. The best. This morning while Pastor Lazarus was preaching, he started with a testimony, a personal testimony. He was saying that he has a small piece of land in Kolar. 2 weeks ago we were there for a meeting. And in that house, in that small piece of land, he has a small houses. Three houses are there, small houses. And people were staying there for rent. And one of the houses, a family was staying there. And very good family. And they were taking care of the place very well, and Pastor Lazarus and his wife, they were very happy. But suddenly, toward the end of December, they suddenly said they want to vacate from that house. They were staying there for so long and taking care of that place, somewhat like a caretakers of that place. And when Pastor Lazarus and his wife heard that, they were really disturbed in their heart. Why? What happened? So he was very much bothered in his heart because they did some, Pastor Lazarus and his wife, you know, did something in the dealings with that family. But somehow they vacated the place. They went to another house and they stayed there for 1 month. And then just day before yesterday, they got a message call from their neighbor that the girl or the boy, who was the one died, Rani? The girl. The girl committed suicide. Husband and wife, both of them were staying in Pastor Lazarus' house, the room. They moved out. Pastor Lazarus and his wife, they were very concerned, disturbed in their heart, why they moved out. Later, within a month, they got another house and staying there, and the girl committed suicide. Of course, that's very sad, very sad. The couple, they were mixed in their, the girl was a Christian and the boy was a non-Christian, and they were having a lot of struggle, and eventually the girl also forsook her Christian faith and went after with the boy's system and whatever it is. But death is always sad. And but what Pastor Lazarus said here was, why he shared that as a testimony, that death happened in Pastor Lazarus' house. It would have been so difficult for the Lord's servant, because it's a suicide. And so much legal systems and involvements would be there. Although Pastor Lazarus was not able to understand why this family suddenly came and said, we are living, and it really disturbed his heart. Now he knew, now he realized that it was God's best plan, that the Lord preserved, protected God's servant as he has been serving faithfully. It's a very small incident. I just mentioned God's foreknowledge, God's active delight for our lives. Many things that happen in our lives, we may not be able to realize, Lord, why things are like this. And suddenly something happens against us, we immediately question, God, why? Why this sickness? Why this problem? Yeah? We immediately question God. We are so much, we are jumped into conclusion, oh, the Lord does not love me. Yeah? But my dear brothers and sisters, God's foreknowledge is his active delight. He knows the very best for us. Even when seemingly bad things happen in our lives, oh, the Lord would be able to turn that for good. Those who love God. Eh? All things work out. Romans 8:28. All things work out for good. We may not be able to immediately understand. So we would be disturbed very much in our heart. Lord, why? Why? Why this family left? So good. There was so much taking care of. We were so happy with that family. Why they left? Within a month time, the servant of the Lord was able to realize, oh, the Lord spared him from a great legal wrangle. God's sovereign knowledge. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, Jeremiah. Before you came forth of the womb, I sanctified thee. My second point. God's sovereign appointment. Verse 5, the last part. Before you came out of your mother's womb, I sanctified thee, I set thee apart, I appointed thee as a prophet unto the nations. God's sovereign appointment. God actively delighted particularly in his life. Accordingly, he foreknew him, he chose him as his child, as his prophet, that he would believe in God, he would know, he would experience the salvation of God, Yahweh, in his life. And then secondly, God also sovereignly appointed him. This appointment, for Jeremiah is to preach and to proclaim, I sanctified you, I set you apart, I ordained you. Later when we come, we would see that Jeremiah was very, very troubled in his heart when he said, Lord, when the Lord said, I sanctified you, I appointed you as a prophet. Jeremiah was not ready. But this was God's appointment. It was God's appointment. Our salvation, our experience of salvation is not actually our own choice. When God dealing with the people of Nineveh, we studied a few months ago, last year, when it came to salvation of the Ninevites, what did the Lord say there? Salvation belongs to the Lord. And Jonah had to learn this with a very, very difficult encounter in his life. That God had the plan to save the people of Nineveh. Salvation belongs to God. So when the Lord tells Jeremiah, I sanctified you, I set you apart, I ordained, not only for him to be a prophet of Israel, but even to know God, even to realize that salvation is in Yahweh, when the entire nation was in sin, right? The entire nation was in sin. God could see this young man of Anathoth, the son of Hilkiah. This child would be a very precious child for God's cause, that he should realize, he should experience in his own life that Yahweh is a savior. There is no salvation anywhere else except in Jehovah. That is God's plan for Jeremiah. And Jeremiah experienced the hand in his life. God appointed him. God sovereignly chose him. God sanctified him. I sanctified you. Of course, when the call came, you know, the Spirit of the Lord worked in his heart. He would be able to understand. He would be able to say yes. And that's what the next two points, which are... I will go more details maybe later. Let me just mention one more thing. One more thing. Then I will conclude my words for this morning. When we come to verses 6 to 9. When this revelation came to Jeremiah. God telling, I sanctified you. I ordained you. I appointed you as a prophet of the nation. Verse 6, then said Jeremiah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Child means youth, young man. So this is what we read in verse 6. This was Jeremiah's fear. He was not ready. He was not prepared to hear the call, because it is going to be a very demanding job. It is going to be a very demanding job for Jeremiah. Why it is very demanding? Later, the commission, in verse 10, the commission is there, which we will meditate next week. Going to be very demanding responsibility. Jeremiah immediately said, Lord, Lord, I cannot speak. I am so immature. I am maybe 20 years or 30 years of age. Yeah. There were many impossibilities before Jeremiah. There were many impossibilities before Jeremiah. How would I face with this? This mighty kings, and perhaps what happened during the time of Isaiah. was very fresh in Jeremiah's mind. All those things were recorded there. The gruesome acts of Manasseh, the most wicked king, was very fresh in Jeremiah's mind. And the prophecies were all very clear over there, coming out. All those came out through the mouth of Isaiah was there. The judgment that is going to come. The Babylonians going to come and destroy. All those things were there. And Jeremiah was really troubled in his heart. Lord God, I cannot speak. I am incapable. My dear friends, take a look into verse 7. But the Lord said unto me, what? Say not, I am a child. For you shall go to all that I shall send you, and whatsoever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. What is this? This is what I call when man expresses his inabilities. Man's inabilities becomes great possibilities for God. Man's inabilities are great possibilities of God, possibilities for God. When Jeremiah said, I am so weak, I can't speak, I am a child, the Lord said, I shall send you, I will command you what to speak. You do not be afraid. I will put forth my hand and touch your mouth. In fact, that's what exactly the Lord did for Jeremiah. Verse 9. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched Jeremiah's mouth. The Lord did a miracle over there. The Lord did a miracle over there. The disciples were in a great challenge. When the people gathered, you know, in the evening, in the afternoon to hear from the Lord, the numbers were going up as the Lord Jesus Christ was ministering to the villages in the Galilean region, Sea of Galilee. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, even more. And people have not eaten well. It is going to be dark. People need to be fed. And the disciples, the Lord asked the disciples, is there anything that we need to feed? The disciples were totally helpless. They did not prepare for this many people. Just not like today, at least we could call this delivery guy and that delivery, or suddenly we could somehow, but even to feed 5,000, it's going to be. And what more to say in those days? Complete impossible situation. Impossible situation. The disciples were incapable. Totally incapable. But then what was there? Five bread and two small fish. Right? And the Lord took that into his hands. And he just lifted up. And he prayed. And gave to his disciples. Told them, go and distribute. Go and distribute. And while they're distributing, it was being multiplied. multiplied. Everyone was well fed. And then, 12 baskets extra. 12 baskets extra. The impossibilities of man or the inabilities of man are in the hands of God. In the hands of God, great opportunity to do mighty things. This principle we learn all through the scripture, and I want you to take this into your heart. When the Lord calls you for this ministry, for this responsibility, don't immediately say, "Oh Lord, I cannot do this." And that's what we normally, you know, human being, when somebody calls to do something and we immediately, "Oh, I cannot do that," we somehow get, we want to escape. Somehow we want to escape. Even when the Lord calls us, what would we say? "Oh, I can't speak." "I am unable to communicate to people." Moses said the same thing, right? When the Lord called Moses, what did Moses say? "Lord, I can't speak, my tongue." And what did the Lord say to Moses immediately? "Moses, who made your mouth? I am the Creator. Don't you know that your weakness in my hand for me to do mighty things?" We should never be overwhelmed by our inabilities and our limitations. Pray, pray, pray. Dependency upon God. Of course, obedience should be there. Obedience and dependency upon God. But God is able. Are we willing? Are we taking this faith on? Keep on believing. And that's what we sung that song. Keep on believing. God is able. Don't ever be overwhelmed by our weaknesses, please. That's what exactly God told Jeremiah. Jeremiah, don't ever say that you cannot speak, that you are a timid young man. "I shall send you. I shall command you what to speak. I will touch your tongue. I will put my words into your mouth. I will set you before the nations." Take note. Take note. For whatever responsibility the Lord is calling you, He said, "These days I am encouraging young people to come and serve the Lord together as a church. For the music ministry, for the practical, for the PA system or for Sunday school or whatever." We should never be overwhelmed by our weaknesses. Are you available in the hands of God? That's the number one. When the Lord calls you, of course, this is the will of the Lord. That's why the Lord calls you. When it is the will of the Lord, and you are ready to available yourselves in the hands of the Lord, the rest who will take care? The Lord will take care. Are we available? Same thing for us to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't say that, "How can Jesus loves me? I am such a dirty sinner." Come. He is able to forgive our sins. He is able to cleanse us. His mighty power to transform our lives. There's no limit. The mighty power of God to transform our lives. There's no limit. No matter how dirty sinner we are. Just last words the day we meditated from Isaiah, you know, the Lord covers us with His righteousness, the cloth of the robe. The Lord will remove the dirty clothes from us and He will cover us with the righteous robe. As the Lord's righteousness. So we come. Let me conclude this morning, my dear brothers and sisters. This is where Jeremiah's life will continue next Lord's Day. But I just want to conclude with this. Jeremiah's life was in the hands of God. Jeremiah's life was in the hands of God. It was God's sovereign will to bring this man as his instrument. It was God's holy will for Jeremiah to come and know this God and serve him. Accordingly, God revealed that plan to Jeremiah, and finally he surrendered. He surrendered. How mightily God used Jeremiah. Next Lord's Day we will study. But are you ready to surrender your inabilities before God for you to follow? Even as a child of God, are you able to surrender your sinful this weaknesses, that weaknesses? Are you ready to surrender for God to do His mighty things in your life? The Lord will transform us. The Lord will transform your life. He loves us so much. He loves us so much. And His plans and thoughts for us, Isaiah 55 verses 8 to 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." This is God's sovereign will and plan for my life, for your life. Don't be discouraged. Don't be disheartened. Come. The Lord's plans, the Lord's thoughts, the Lord's holy will for my life and your life. The most beautiful, most wonderful, most perfect. So Jeremiah, even for him to forsake wedding, to marry and live a normal family life, and God did not allow that. Jeremiah could see the beauty in that. Surrendered his life to follow this mighty sovereign God. You do not know exactly what is going to happen to us. But if you know His holy will, His plan, if you know that God is sovereignly involved in your life, don't be disheartened. Don't be disheartened. Surrender. Lord, you are my Maker. You are my God. My life is in your hand. I am so comforted in that thought. You have your beautiful plan for my life. Shall we pray?